Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the NXT 2.0.
Oh!
I'm Michael Sidgwick, joined by fellow Dudley boy Michael Hamflett to discuss everything that's in store for us on tonight's show. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. We preview and review NXT 2.0. Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, Rampage pay-per-views. We conduct wrestler interviews. We hold roundtable discussions and host a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. Hamflett, NXT 2.0 blooms off the rose. Yeah.
It's not off Mandy Rose, is it?
No.
NXT Women's Champion.
You'd see it. I'm sure if the bloom had come off her rose, I'm pretty sure it would be filmed.
I think if the bloom came off her rose, it would be all over one of the male wrestlers, and that would be a storyline going forward. And what's their relationship? It's sex, Bruce. It's full sex.
Fabian, isn't she?
We can tell it's full sex. There's no subtext to your bollocks. It was not fun last week, was it? Halloween Havoc felt like a kind of a reckoning for the 2.0 methodology, if you can even call it that. And now we're on to, I don't know, serious feuds, a big Sunday show that they've got to try and build to in December. It doesn't look like the show or the roster that is capable of such things. And yet now they're going to have to try and fake it until they make it.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ, last week's episode was just so bad. The novelty of Schadenfreude has since worn out almost completely. This is failing to make an impression on anyone, discourse-wise, ratings-wise. The show sucks, and I'm pretty sure this edition is going to suck too. Looking at the lineup, a match that we realistically should be a little bit hyped for, considering how much work was involved in it. Prior to the 2.0 reboot, considering the talent involved, is Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez. But given the direction of the show itself and the direction of one or possibly both characters amid the 2.0 reboot means that I can't really anticipate it earnestly with any sense of real enthusiasm. It is Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez. Dakota Kai is now playing the role of a joker. She's laughing maniacally. She's tilting her head at a 30-degree angle as if to convey the fact that she's not thinking in a straight line. She's not thinking straight. Therefore, her brain must be tilted physically in a different direction as if to convey this. She's playing the role of someone who's a little bit unhinged. Why is she so violent? Conflicted about inflicting pain on some but not others. It's all incredibly armdram. It's so beneath a pure babyface performer like Dakota Kai. Raquel Gonzalez, meanwhile, has suffered slightly less in that she simply has a motorbike to make her more interesting in the minds of management. So I'm expecting some kind of non-finish or a heel finish, whether that's a DQ, an intentional count out, or whatever, given that violence and tables seem to be the direction of this Dakota Kai character. The rivalry itself probably deserves some kind of plunder informed blow off. Are you expecting something that is worthy of their feud and their talents, or are you expecting some projected imposed acting onto them?
It's a pretend match to build a match. I think this is Dakota Kai. In this, it's relatively new, I suppose. We've seen it for a few weeks now, but she's already turned heel on Raquel Gonzalez. So I don't know. She's not fresh in this role at this point. We've had the actual title match back when these two were in the NXT that we closely associate them with. Dakota Kai doesn't play this Joker role particularly well. Nor should she have to, being honest. It's not something that probably would have happened had it not been imposed upon her by the soft play center-like state of NXT 2.0. Similarly, Raquel Gonzalez and her bike has been inserted so gracelessly that the character almost feels like accidentally comedic as a result. So you've got her coming in that starts to feel a little bit like a 2.0 punchline. You've got Dakota Kai as this sudden, as you say, staring at hands. I don't think you know what you're dealing with, Raquel. Like, she wasn't that person.
Sorry, Raquel.
It used to be, you know exactly who you're dealing with, Raquel. We used to be best friends. Like, not anymore. It's she's apparently completely changed her personality over the past.
You're not your hero. Like, you live long enough to become a villain. Can't do accents.
I'm not afraid of you, the Batman. I think this will be a match to build a match, but I have got the match that this will build to that I think will make this fun. I think it's gonna be thrown out tonight, and it's gonna be 2-3 minutes long, in keeping with most matches on NXT 2.0. And then there's gonna be a pull apart, and the pull apart is not gonna be anywhere as convincing as the Kingston and CM Punk's, but there's gonna be a pull apart to keep these two separate. And the only way that this can be, this fight didn't start in NXT 2.0. It started on the streets.
That's not at South Africa. That's not New Zealand.
Sorry. I can't do accents. It's going to end in the car park in one of those, what do they call them? Where the bike, is it like circle of pain with the dead man? Like where they put the bike lights on and nothing else and they have a
Black
fight.
And Shamrock?
Aye, the ring.
What's it called?
You know what I'm on about, don't you? Like cars and motorbikes that light up the... I'm pretty sure whatever the title of the Adam Cole Velveteen Dream match in your house had it as well. Like, was it Iron Circle? Steve Blackman and Ken Shamrock.
2 seconds.
Anyway. Iron
Circle.
Try that one.
Iron Circle match?
Yeah. Iron Circle match with Dakota Kai and all her motorbike friends. I was thinking there, Dakota Kai. Feels like part of that should rhyme with motorbike, and none of it does. Demotor, bike, no, it doesn't work. But yeah, anyway, Raquel Gonzalez has got a bike, so they're going to fight in an iron. Demotor bike, that'll do. They're going to fight in an Iron Circle match at War Games, and this is going to be designed to be. It can't be contained in the 2.0 dome.
They're enjoying the cameos from yesteryear with the Todd Pettengills on speed dial, Ted DiBiase. You know he's. Got the call. Well, these guys still won't work. Get Disciples of Apocalypse involved.
Yes.
And get Taker. He always loves a payday, doesn't he?
He shares political alignment with the Harris brothers.
Yes. So they can be in the Iron Circle. They can rev the bikes up and they can be like the cage.
A Titan Bikes.
Yes.
They love the Titan bikes, isn't
they?
It's nice.
Things turned heel on AEW because they haven't called them for like the town circle.
Mm-hmm. The town hall meeting
stuff for a while, and he started to realize, hang on, if they're not giving me a call, and I was too much of a lazy bastard to keep my job with WWE, what's the next source of income for me? Anti AEW grift.
I was watching Nitro. Oh, yeah. I was watching a Nitro recently where he was with, it was NWO stuff, and he was with Elizabeth. And yeah, Bischoff's always got that keys in a bowl vibe anyway, hasn't he? Like, I'm not saying anything. It's just the way he sort of stands with the women he chooses to script himself with.
Sleazy.
Sleazy. And he's got, like, he hasn't got, I'm sure she chose these herself, but Elizabeth is in, like, denim, I suppose they'd be called mom jeans now, denim mom jeans, and, like, leather, black leather chaps, straight out of Sturgis. I was like, that's Miss Elizabeth, show some goddamn respect. And she's like, no, she's my girlfriend, she likes bike stuff. I like real women, and real women like bikes. Anyone that's never seen it, go and watch. Go on the network or Peacock and watch NWO Sold Out. It's a really strange show. The NWO arrive on a bin lorry into the building, and then later on in the show, Eric Bischoff judges Miss NWO by necking on with a bunch of all the women that are sat on motorbikes. Goes like, ah, I love being me, WCW. My wife lets me kiss these women.
How the take 11 months subsequent to that for the whole thing to fall off. Sold Out was rock.
Oh, it was rank. It was really bad.
Almost as bad as NXT 2.0, which also tonight features. And they're going to be complete dicks again and put, like, Kyle O'Reilly versus Pete Dunne versus, like, Danny Burch in some kind of three-way. These marks want wrestling, so let's give these 15 minutes. And they're going to expect me to take it seriously after Cameron Grimes and Duke Hudson have a live poker showdown.
Oh, God, it's like, really... Feels claggy, this, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is, and I'm not just the kind of person, you know this, Hamlet, who would advocate for some professional wrestling matches on my professional wrestling board. I like the range, right? I like the promos. I like the angles. I'm very specific and pedantic about my tastes, about how promo segments should go. But I like the range, but all of it, when it's not in a pandemic and you need a little bit of levity, all of it should take place in the sphere of the professional wrestling environment. The reason why I'm not looking forward to the live poker showdown, and I will not be able to effectively preview the live poker showdown, and I don't know what to say about it when it happens, is it's because it's poker. Mm. I don't know the rules of poker, and I watch wrestling for wrestling. The full breadth of it, mind you, but wrestling. I've been around, like, my mates' houses. Like, the poker boom was massive. Mm-hmm. When I was, like, leaving sixth form and going into uni.
I was just going to say, second year of sixth form, we used to skip lessons and play poker in the canteen.
Yeah, it was massive. It was monumental. Yeah. Like, it was just getting on telly. It was just, like, a big buzzy thing when these things used to happen before the culture everywhere just got totally fractured. But poker was big. So, like, I used to go around my mates' houses. Some were into it, some weren't. And say, right, okay, it's poker time. Who's going to shuffle or whatever?
That was proper. That was a real Joe Gacy, if I use the right word, energy. Let's do it. Let's do a shuffle. Yeah, who's going to be the dealist?
I'm a slow learner. When I pick something up, right, I'll just do it. But I'm not very good at absorbing information and remembering it for the first time. Bit of their inside baseball in the what culture is. Andy Murray, god damn it, to his quiet but very well contained despair, has just tried to teach me how to work Pixlr.
Yes.
And I've asked him to say, I did the cardinal sin of, like, right, it's fine to ask how to do it again once more. Mm-hmm. Because not everyone gets it first time. Oh, can you show us that one again? I didn't quite catch it the first time. I'm sorry. You told us how to do a few different things at once. And it's when you have to ask for a third time how to do it. There's the excuse. Like, the teacher's going to get a little pissed off with the student. But Murray was very very patient with me.
It's been a long time since probably, and we're both from administration backgrounds before we found ourselves here.
It's the worst.
It's been a long time since I've seen that in the flesh. And it was because it was you guys. And there's such a comfort level between all of us. It was funny to watch, but I did briefly have flashbacks to when, like, I was that person in a new job in admin specifically, and you get given some poor caretaker for the day. And eventually you pay this forward and you become the caretaker for a new starter. But you are at the, like, you have to measure the right time to ask because you've already forgotten the instruction they gave you, or you think you pressed the wrong button and you've broken the whole system and things like that. It's, oh God, it gave me some strange, stressful flashbacks.
Indeed. I had that exact same pang of something I've not felt in, 5 years since I've been at What Culture now? I was like, oh, God, they think you're an idiot and you're wasting their time and you're getting it wrong and you've broken everything. This gives me flashbacks to when my friends tried to tell me how to freaking play poker. I got it wrong, and I kept asking questions, and I kept disrupting the flow, and I was sworn off poker forever for that night. I was like, I don't like it that much. I like playing Switch. Switch is a good card.
Yeah, yeah.
Poker is a pretty intricate game. Obviously, there are levels to how good you are, hence why it's a competitive card game. And I couldn't even find the bloody first level. So they're going to have to do this to the viewing audience, aren't they? Unless they just start playing cards and then Duke Bloody Adson beats them up.
Yep. It's
I'm not going to learn how to play poker at like 5:15 a.m.
No. Cameron Grimes is going to continue to beat Duke Hudson fairly over, let's say, 2 hands, maybe 3. Duke Hudson will...
What's a hand?
Like, an individual game. Like, they've put the chips in, somebody has won a hand, and you play the next hand. Like, imagine it like me and you are going to, like, flip a coin, and that one, you call it, that's one hand. Imagine that. They're going to have, like, 2 or 3 of those. They're going to play out in relatively short order.
Like a frame. To one at pool earlier today.
Ah, oh, Jesus Christ, you would bring it up. What's the score overall? You're in the room where the board is.
It is Hamlet 33, Sidgwick 20.
That's actually pretty close. That's less braggy than I hoped it would sound.
Relatively close, considering what previous years. 2020 was my best year.
I think they're going to isolate that. 2020 was my best year.
Stop playing.
I think Duke Hudson puts Cameron Grimes through the green felted poker table tonight, and it's something else that is added to War Games that I'm not particularly interested in watching. Truth be told, it's not a hot match. Cameron Grimes is in a really funny spot because you had a feeling before 2.0 was birthed, you kind of felt that he was following the usual patterns of NXT, that he was en route to becoming an NXT champion maybe within the next 12 months. Now it's really hard to gauge because he both fits this show and he doesn't. He certainly doesn't feel as out of place as your Champas and your Garganos and your Kyle O'Reillys, but he also doesn't feel as part of the world as a Duke Hudson or a Bron Breakker. So I can't quite work out, like him, Cameron Grimes and LA Knight are the two that I can't quite work out the trajectories of at present. But I see this ending in Cameron Grimes being laid out cards. Duke Hudson's going to reveal 6 aces up his sleeve, something like that. Cards are going to fly everywhere. Cameron Grimes is going through the green table, and then they're going to have a match at the Pape. What the frig is it? War at the Sunday 2.0 show. That's what it is. It's not like it's not special.
Oh, Christ. Well, cool. On the subject of cool, this is cool. The only other announced match that I've seen, I went on Twitter and I went on .com. If I've missed anything, you won't let us know because I can only imagine a few people listen to this. Odyssey Jones and Jacket Time will take on Diamond Mine, which I presume will be Roderick Strong and the Creed Brothers.
Yeah, brothers.
Who's going to win?
Odyssey Jones and Jacket Time are going to win, right?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Jacket Time lost their debut match as a team last week against the Creed Brothers in a match that was only theoretically designed for Jacket Time to both look good in order to stake a claim to Roderick Strong's Cruiserweight title, because the man Roderick Strong is feuding with literally cannot compete for it. Correct? So yes. then they lost. So they've got Odyssey Jones now, the guy who is feuding with Roderick Strong but cannot compete for his title. So Odyssey Jones will defeat and pin Roderick Strong because they are wanting to protect the Creed Brothers, which is why they won last week.
Not a champion.
Nobody gets over. Yeah. Odyssey Jones will win and he will say, I'm going to take you down, Roderick Strong. And then Malcolm Bivens is going to be like, well, you're not exactly going to do it for the title, big lad, are you? And he's going to be like, no, it's not about titles. It's about, you know, staking a claim and taking an opportunity. Is this the Odyssey Jones predictor? he's gonna pin Roderick Strong, and the questions are gonna be asked: is that can Roderick Strong beat Odyssey Jones one on one? My memory might be going on Anderson in 1999. I might have been the old Alzheimer's. I feel like Roderick Strong might have already beat Odyssey Jones, and I'm forgetting about it. I think they might have already had a match. I can't remember.
They've had two. They've had a match on 205 Live, which is shockingly great. Then they had the follow-up on NXT, which proved that it was just Roderick Strong entering probably the best performance of his career. They couldn't replicate the magic. I don't know why any of this is happening in terms of why.
I'll tell you why.
Who can practically win given the prize that Roderick Strong holds?
Well, what we have left to do is, and that's where I assume this will go. So I do believe the babyfaces will win, but rather than it parlaying into a cruiserweight title sitch, because there's no... You've buried the two that could go for it, and the one that wins can't fight for it. We are on the hunt for a babyface to join Odyssey Jones and Jacket Time for War Games, and I think that's where they're headed. I think I would quite like a female. I would like them to do three men, one woman, single War Games match, and do it that way with Diamond Mine. I don't think they will, but that's the War Games.
There's no agenda because they won't do it.
Toxic Attraction seems set up for at least a 3-on-3, possibly a 3-on-3-on-3 War Games, actually, like that one a few years back. But
yeah.
I could see this morphing into the bones of a War Games match. And to be fair, like, for all that the booking's slapdash and everything's 50-50, at least these are kind of warring factions, so it doesn't feel completely contrived.
Yeah, it doesn't feel completely contrived. And it takes away the really illogical dynamic of Odyssey Jones having a feud with the Cruiserweight champion, which just makes absolutely less than zero sense. Well, I did have War Games announcements question mark, but we've kind of covered that. So let's just get to the frigging games, okay?
Yes, please. Let's
get to the goddamn games, huh? The first game, the best game. I sound like Trump more than I sound like... It's the Tony D'Angelo predictor.
So Tony D'Angelo.
What's he going to do? What's he going to say? Yeah?
Guy's in action tonight. Guy's in action against a fellow killer.
Well, is he?
Allegedly against Dexter Lumis. Remember, he gave him the...
forgot about it!
You forgot about it! That is almost like we set that up, and I don't think we did.
No, it's not my notes.
So it's okay that you forgot about it because the state of these gimmicks, man. I think because what at this point has Dexter got left that ties him to his past life as a people murderer? I think Tony D'Angelo is going to beat Dexter Lumis. And then he's going to look at Dexter and be like, this guy's a little swathed. He ain't the guy that he used to be. I'm going to take the only thing this guy had that connected him to the past like mine. He's going to take his gloves. As a trophy. You know, Gargano likes the black gloves. He's going to take his gloves. He's going to slide them in his pocket. You ain't seen nothing. And then what are those gloves going to allow him to get away with? Find out in next week's predictor.
Moida.
Moida. He's literally getting away with Moida. It's not even implied.
Well, I totally forgot about that, so it's screwed up my predictor. But
what is it anyway? Let's have it anyway.
In addition, it's the worst one I've done yet. I'm so tired today. In addition to having a feud with Dexter goddamn Loomis, Dexter Gaylord Loomis was he's also having a bit of a conflict with Pete Dunne, the bad NXT, which is how he kind of says it, which is quite funny.
That is good.
So the idea, right, is that Tony D'Angelo, it's like, it's so hard, this podcast is... I can't take any of the show seriously, right? But I don't think I meant to take Tony D'Angelo that seriously. He's a little is he a bit like jittery? Is he supposed to be? He's supposed to be not that intimidating a mob boss. A bit of a figure of...
Yeah.
Because there's been moments where he's been a bit like, he's off. And he's like, he's picking fights with like people, like women, basically. More like Lash Legend, etc. So I think in the post-match here, Pete Dunne is going to try and beat him up on the ramp. And he's going to intimidate him with like a shrug. And like Tony D'Angelo is going to like cower. Then backstage with one of the robots who interview them, he's going to say, like, have you got any response to Pete Dunne's challenge from earlier in the night? And I'll level with you, Humphlet. I, before every NXT 2.0 preview, I just Google list of mafia terms to try and win the prediction. And according to that particular Wikipedia page, a pass means reprieve from getting whacked, right?
Okay.
So because Tony D'Angelo's meant to be kind of a jittery, like he's not Phil Leotardo, is he? He's like a little bit more light relief and whatever.
Well, other than the fact that he's big in New York now.
Yes. So I think he's going to say, well, you know what? Pete Dunne's a schmuck, but I'll give him a pass. So I think the idea is Tony D'Angelo's running a little bit scared.
Okay.
But I think this is all informed by the fact that we just find the idea of a caricature, a character, like, inherently amusing. Maybe he is meant to be Tony Soprano, a badass. So who the hell knows? I don't know anything about this show.
I do love the feud with Pete Dunne. I love that they're, like, it's a bit like Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner in the really forced, awkward interactions between characters that do not belong together on screen at all. Like, Pete Dunne, like, when you say, like, Tony D'Angelo thinks Pete Dunne's a schmuck, it's like, somebody had to remind me about your classic feud with Tyler Bate because I forgot about it!
Just so right for... remind me about your career.
NXT UK looks to me like it's sleeping with the fishes in the River Trent or the River Severn. Take your pick.
Imagine Walter in this NXT 2.0. Like, imagine. Imperium are bad enough. Look on his face when he walks into this absolute...
Oh, big guy, choppy jalopy.
Choppy jalopy, son of a bitch. You think you know what's going on?
Sorry, we've just called Walter Choppy Jalopy, and it's the greatest nickname he's ever had.
I mean, I'm not being funny, but that'll probably be less, more flattering to him than what he ever gets called on the main roster. One more game before we wrap up, and it's the Zeitgeist Heist.
Yes.
Just a bit of context to any new listeners that have so happened. What happens on NXT 2.0 and a very grabby bid to connect with the youth, which this show somehow paid for by old men, they shoehorn in a popular culture reference and or trending topic to make the people, the cast and the broadcast team of 2.0 feel like they know what going on. So what do you think is going to be on the Zeitgeist Heist?
Right, I've cheated this week and I'm always terrible at these games, and I saw something online the other day and I thought, Monday, is this still going to be trending by Sunday, and I thought, is this still going to be trending by Tuesday? And it's like, I've got to take this anyway because it's just too perfect. You know how CM Punk said that Vince McMahon was a millionaire who should be a billionaire?
Yes.
Elon Musk is a billionaire who should be dirt poor and skinned.
Right? Yes.
As evidenced by his rancid Twitter partner, which perfectly, and I mean perfectly, applies itself to 2.0 this week. When he tweeted, early hours of Sunday night, Monday morning. I love this so much. This applies to two of our biggest, two of the things we've noticed the most about the recent themes going on in NXT 2.0. He tweeted, due to inflation, 420 has gone up by 69. So that is,
that's drill.
That is so drill, right? But of course, what are we referencing there? 420, our boys in MSK, the old Doobie Brothers. What are the names? Is it Wesley and Nash Carter? Is it Benson and Hendricks? I forget what the names are. But they're smoking some disco tabs. I know all the terminology. I went to the University of Sunderland. And 69, Sidgwick, I don't know if you knew this. It's a shagging thing. And on NXT 2.0, they all love six. So this week,
all hard and they're all wet.
So my prediction is that Vic Joseph is just going to screen this tweet on air. Hey, wait! Due to inflation, 420 has gone up by 69! There you go.
Oh, Mike's not nowhere near as funny as that. I today did what the intern who's asked to find out what's hitting with the youth does and just went on the trending tab on Twitter. And apparently a thread got really popular where a real life bus driver deconstructed this like bus chase heist scene in some lame Marvel movie or other called Shang-Chi. And Legends or Swords or something like that. Hmm. And so the whole idea is there's this absolutely ridiculous bus chase or action scene that's set on a bus. And a real life bus driver in a Twitter thread went like frame by frame and apparently produced an amusing thread saying that this couldn't happen for X, Y, and Z reason, right?
Yeah.
So, Wade Barrett is going to say something to, you know, he plays the heel and he favors the heels and he thinks the baby faces are stupid. I think during the live poker showdown, Cameron Grimes is going to start winning and Wade Barrett is going to be a little bit suspicious of how fairly he's playing the game. Okay, yeah. So Wade Barrett is going to say, Cameron Grimes has just won that hand. He's not
Zelina Vega.
Cameron Grimes just won that hand. Vic, I find that harder to believe than a Shang-Chi bus ride.
It's funny because it's true. Yeah, I like it. What film was it from? Can you remember? The film that he was deconstructing, the scene that he was deconstructing.
Shang-Chi in the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Ooh. Because that sounds quite global, and I just think Wade could close it with a song, couldn't he? Making movies, making fun, and fighting around the world.
Around the world.
Oh, Vic, I've seen Adam Cole lowering the boom! Around the other side. Well, I think that's that. Oh, do you know what we've not even covered? This is not in your bullets, I do apologise.
That's fine.
What's going to happen with Boa?
Oh, God. He's demonically possessed. I've never read about this on the news because it's fake. Like, he's tall. He's doing supernatural stuff. On Reddit Square Circle in the next 4 months, I'm going to read a thread about how Bo is the next Undertaker. It's going to, like, it might be the end. That'll be the end. If I ever see that, and it's bloody Square Circle, so it's not that much of a reach. That'll be it for me. If he can invoke some kind of supernatural entity or mystical power that he can absorb and use to kick a lot of ass. He should be next in line for Tommy Ciampa's title.
Who was the last next Undertaker?
Aleister Black.
And who was the one before that, the real one? You know, the one that they've been saying for years. Boa Dallas.
Boa Dallas.
the third Wyndham. The first member of the cult of Wyndham. That's what the power was. Wyndham's coming back and Bo was the first member of the cult. He's going to get Boa, he's going to get Bo, then he's just going to get somebody called B. And it's like the three Bs or something, I don't know. And the three Bs, and they're all going to buzz, and the buzzing is going to lead to the cult of Wyndham.
It's the honestness. That's how I read this song.
And then they're gonna tease someone else that was gonna be feuding with the Undertaker. You know, you're gonna be careful that the bees don't sting. Follow the buzzes.
And you get one of these like photoshopped match graphics, and it's like a fiddle for a wee, and it's the Undertaker versus the Fiend versus Bo Dallas versus Boa.
All of them.
All the guys.
And Mia Yim is Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
Somebody, Liv Morgan, I don't know. Whoever they were jacking it to that week. Fuck knows.
There's nothing else to say about this show. I think the worst thing is, man, there is nothing else to say about this company. I'm having an existential crisis. I haven't made a good WWE joke in about several months.
Okay.
I used to get by on like, I can take the piss out of this quite effectively. I can't. It's impervious.
It's NXT. I think it is time for new characters. As ludicrous as that is, I think this show functions best as an entertainment vehicle when we get new characters. I think every character should have around a 6 to 8 week life cycle.
Seriously, like, that was the best thing about it.
Mm.
Why not just do that?
Yeah.
Would you do that, dear listener? Let us know on Twitter at WWE. Whilst you're there, you can follow Michael Hamflett.
You might as well, because we know you're not watching and you're only just listening to us instead. At Michael Hamflett.
And follow me at M Sidgwick. Again, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes or Spotify, where we will review NXT 2.0 tomorrow to see if the Tony Angelo predictor and the Zeitgeist heist come true. Of course, we would like to welcome your guesses for the Zeitgeist heist and the Tony the Angelo goddamn predictor. Which again, you can let us know at What Culture WWE. Again, subscribe. But until then, until tomorrow, where we review this trash, we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.